Philippians 1 and verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from this day, first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this wonderful season. And Lord, as we study the Bible and take a good look, just a short verse, not many words, but powerful words. Just a few thoughts, but powerful thoughts. But I pray that you'll help, Lord, to help us to maximize this Thanksgiving season. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I love the Apostle Paul. I've studied his life. I've enjoyed the way that God used him. He was an amazing man. He had an incredible impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. His entire ministry just lasted for 31 years. But during that time, Paul proved himself to be a soul winner and a church planter and an evangelist and a missionary. And he was very good at discipling new converts and new assemblies, and then took under his wing many times young preachers and helped develop them so that the next generation would have some Apostle Pauls. Paul was used mightily of God to pen down more than half the New Testament. I like him. A unique man, a great man, a humble man, a man used mightily of the Lord. If you ask this preacher, who was the greatest missionary of the New Testament, I'd have to say outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul has my vote. If you ask who exhibited the greatest courage in the New Testament outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd say Paul had my vote. If you ask who suffered the most as an apostle of Christ, yes, the Apostle Paul. If you ask who carried the gospel wider and deeper and farther than any of the apostles, Paul, yep, study it out, it was Paul. If you ask who possessed the greatest burden for lost souls of any of the apostles, well, I don't know if we can measure that, but it was Paul that said that he would gladly go to hell if his brethren, the Jews, would be saved. I call that a pretty good evidence that he carried a great burden for the lost. Now, all these things are known about Paul, but this morning I want to point out an attribute of the Apostle Paul that's very easy for us to overlook. The Apostle Paul, yes, preacher, he was many things. But if there's a New Testament Bible personality that exemplifies, listen to this, a spirit of sincere and genuine thankfulness, it was this great missionary preacher, the Apostle Paul. See, Paul possessed what I am going to call this morning the spirit of thankfulness, the spirit of thankfulness. It was evidenced in what he wrote down as God used him to pen down the epistles. Can I convince you that what I'm saying is true? Romans chapter 1, verse 8, Paul was used to pen these words. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Romans 7:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 16, verse 3 and 4, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always on your behalf. 1 Corinthians 1:14, I thank God. 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank God. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians 8:16, but thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Ephesians chapter 1, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love and all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you. Ephesians chapter 5, fornication, all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. God used Paul to write Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God. How about Colossians chapter 1, verse 3? We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father. Preacher, are you close? No, well, about halfway through. Colossians 1:12. 3:17, but whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. 1 Thessalonians 3:9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, for we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to give God, to thank God always for you, brethren. 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Philemon 1:4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Hebrews 13:5, and by him therefore let us offer, what a verse, the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I want to preach this morning on this subject, the spirit of thankfulness. The spirit of thankfulness. We're going to use as our text the one verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. We're just going to squeeze that verse, get all we can out of it. We're going to use that verse. We're going to use as our example the Apostle Paul. From this 9-word verse and this first century man of God, we'll learn how to cultivate. We can learn how to cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. Listen, folks, a Bible-based gratitude attitude has the power to change you. But there's something even more important than that. It has the power to impact those around you. Please pray for me as I preach on this subject, the spirit of thankfulness. Philippians 1, verse 3. Let me point out some things. Number one, Paul's thankfulness was a personal decision. That this verse is a short verse. The first word in this verse is a one-letter personal pronoun. Paul begins this verse on gratitude with this word, I. Folks, this is a personal declaration. It announces a personal decision. Paul knew that if he was to teach on the subject of thankfulness, it must first start within his own heart. See, Paul's not exhorting them at this point for them to be thankful. He's testifying of his own thankfulness. Now, let's get the Thanksgiving week started off right, okay? Listen, look right up here. Thankfulness is a personal decision. By the way, unthankfulness is also a personal decision. If you entered this morning, Bible talks about entering into his gates with thanksgiving. If you did that this morning, you did it because you made the decision to do that. If you did not do so, it's because you made the decision not to come in with a spirit of thankfulness. It's not your circumstances. It's not the people around you. It's not what's going on in your life. It's a personal decision. Every Sunday school teacher in this room knows what I'm talking about. You know, you give out those treats in your class, or you do something nice for your students. And next, just a couple weeks from now, we're going to have Sunday school Christmas parties in all of our Sunday school classes. And you know, the Sunday school teachers sacrificially, many of them will buy gifts or make little things so that all the kids have something to take home with them. And you know what? Watch this. You know what? You'll have some kids in your class that'll come to you and literally just be thrilled. And I mean, with tears in their eyes, teacher, thank you. Thank you so much. Then you'll have that kid that rips it open and looks at it and say, really? Is this it? You know what, folks? Same gift. Come on now, same gifts, same teacher, same class. What happened? What's the difference? One of those kids have cultivated a spirit of thankfulness. The other child has not done that. Every bus worker. Thank you, ladies. We have ladies in our church every single week. They make homemade treats for every person that rides our bus. I mean homemade, took the time to bake them and package them and pray over them and bring them to church. And these kids, they are spoiled rotten in this church. Homemade treats every single Sunday. And you know what you'll get? Ask any bus worker. You'll get some kids that every week complain or turn up their nose or, well, I'd rather have this. And then you have those handful on the bus. Watch this. That just have cultivated a spirit of faithfulness. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what you give them. They look at you and they appreciate it. Think about that. Every mom and dad's seen this in your children's lives. Maybe they've gone through a time where they've just failed. They've dropped the ball. The young person just is not have a thankful spirit. And then sometimes you see God turn that around. And you know what? All of a sudden they begin to appreciate the things that were done for them. Listen, folks, what are you saying, preacher? We have a wonderful week ahead of us. Or I should say this. We have the opportunity to have a wonderful week ahead of us. Every one of us can live it fully immersed and controlled by a spirit of thankfulness. Or we can pervert this sacred holiday. Come on. By a personal decision to remain unthankful. Number one, Paul's thankfulness was a personal decision. Number two, Paul's thankfulness was directed towards God. This is a good point. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. We'll see in a minute what Paul was thankful for, but first let's not fail to notice who Paul thanked. You see, Paul understood a Bible principle. Here it is, folks. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And I know that God uses people in all of our lives. We're going to talk about that when we get towards the end of the message. But I like the way Paul stated this. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And so it was God that received the thankfulness. Now, it was good that Paul mentions his thankfulness, that he's thankful for them. He conveys in this verse his gratitude for them, but ultimately, his thankfulness is directed for God. I thought, well, I'm going to use that phrase more. I'm going to use that phrase more. Sometimes we say, you know, I'm so thankful for you. And I think what I'm going to start doing is trying to say this more. You know what? I'm so thankful to God for you. You know, that just brings God in the conversation, you know. I don't think that diminishes the thankfulness to that individual. I think it elevates the thankfulness to that individual. Isn't that good? So, for number one, Paul's thankfulness was a personal decision. Number two, Paul's thankfulness was directed towards God. Number three, Paul's thankfulness was stirred. This is so important. This is the message. Listen, was stirred by the act of remembrance. The act of remembrance. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, notice it. When did he thank God? Upon every remembrance. So every time he took time to remember, it stirred up thankfulness. He didn't say, I'm always thankful for you. I never cease to be thankful for you. I wake up thankful for you and I go to bed thankful for you. He said this, when I stop to remember, then in those moments, I'm thankful for you. Now watch this, folks. Come on. Let me help you with something. This is good for all of us. Unthankfulness is the result of a lazy mind. Come on. And thankfulness is the result of an honest and active mind. Unthankfulness is produced by selfish emotion. Thankfulness is produced by spiritual intellect. Paul was thankful because he took the time to think. He took the time to remember. I enjoyed the selection of songs this morning. Thank you, Brother Tom. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost. Hey, come on, we all get there. Come on, we do. Come on. What do we do? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. Paul never forgot what Christ had saved him from. You know what? I think there was a lot of things that Paul remembered. I think he remembered that road to Damascus experience. Folks, if you can't find anything, I mean, if your life is so terrible, and it's not if you're an American, okay? But if your life is so terrible or you've convinced yourself that you have nothing to be thankful for, if you're saved today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have the greatest thing in the world to be thankful for. You are a child of God. You're a child of God. I think Paul often went back and remembered that encounter that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ. That day that Jesus showed up. That day that Jesus spoke his name. Spoke to him. You know what, folks? Salvation is a very personal experience. Every single one of us personally must receive Christ. Personally must be saved. Paul never forgot the miraculous answers to prayer. Paul never forgot the way God had taken care of him through all of his years in ministry and protected him. Preacher, how do I foster a spirit of thanksgiving in my life? Here's the word. Listen, remember. Remember. Thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You say, preacher, why is it that you said what you did a minute ago? Why do you feel like it's a satanic thing to try to keep families from gathering together during the holidays? Because a lot of those gatherings, you know what it becomes? A time of, watch this, sweet remembrance. Come on, what do? You catch up on what's going on in everybody's life, and then pretty soon, come on, parents, your kids start telling stories about things they did that you're just now finding out about, you know? And then you, excuse me? I guess you never knew that. You did it, what? You know, and memories, things that happened, memories of things that you did together, and this funny story and that funny story, and you know what it does? All of those memories being talked about, you know what it does? It creates in each and every one of us a spirit of thankfulness and thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. Thank you that I have that memory. Thank you that I can latch onto that. Thank you that I can remember that. Thank you that I can tell that today. And so Paul said this, you know what? Thankfulness is stirred up by an act of remembrance. You say, preacher, what did Paul remember specifically in this verse? Brings us to our fourth and last point. Listen to me. Thankfulness was centered on the people. Paul's thankfulness was centered on the people God had used to touch his life. Now, this is where I want to end the message, but don't get too excited. It's going to be a few more minutes, all right? Listen to what I'm going to say here. Watch this. There's two very different groups of people that Paul could have chosen to remember. First of all, I want you to listen to me. Okay? There's two different groups of people in everybody's life, and you've got to choose to remember one group or the other. There's those that had been a blessing to him, and there's those that had been a burden to him or a disappointment to him. Oh, preacher, I'll tell you what, I don't even like remembering because all I have is bad memories. No, that's all you choose to have. Come on, don't give me that. You're going to let 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that happened when you're growing up just steal the joy of every single holiday because you're going to fixate on those things. You know what Paul said? He said this. He said, listen, this was the church of Philippi. You know, this was the church that if there was any church that Paul planted, you talk about a right spirit, right heart, right excitement, right everything. I mean, this was the church that above all churches, you know what he did? He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you because when I remember you, it does good for me. I think he was sitting there thinking, you know, I remember when each and every one of you got saved. I remember each and every one of you and you come and your life was full of sin and those little victories and the things that happened in your life and the messages and the revival meetings and you giving this up and turning the corner in this area and growing in this area and advancing in this area. And he said, man, when I'm having a tough day, you know what I do? I just think back at the church of Philippi and I think about those good people and I think about, hey, when the devil sits on your shoulder, Paul, this isn't worth it. Well, if it wasn't worth it, then what about all those Christians down there in Philippi? Right. But Paul, you need to just give it up. You're getting too old for this. Well, what about all those things that happen? I mean, they could still happen again. And you know, I think Paul, listen, he chose who he was going to think about. He chose what he was going to think about. Now, please listen to me, folks. There's some things that we need to remember, and there's some things we need to forget. All right. Because the handful of things that you're not willing to forget, that keep capturing your mind, those memories are doing you no good. So Paul said, yeah, I could, you know what? Go read through the book of Acts. Read the life of Paul. There's a lot of things and people that Paul could have spent all his time fixating on that was bent for his destruction, hated him, and did everything they could to fight against everything he was trying to accomplish for the Lord. Paul didn't have a perfect life. You know what? he chronicles for us. I mean, there's a whole list. I don't have it in front of me of the different. Do you realize that more than once they took a cat of nine tails or a whip and whipped his back? You know, they stoned him. You know, if Paul wanted to, when it came Thanksgiving week, you know what he could have spent the whole week doing? Just picturing the faces of those guys throwing the rocks at him. Picture that soldier that falsely arrested him and that Jew that falsely accused him and the people that rioted instead of listening to him preach. Come on. You know how you develop a spirit of thankfulness? You sure don't develop that by dredging up all of the bad memories of your life and fixating on people that have not chosen to be a blessing but chose to try to be a burden in your life. I'm going to say it again. Folks, listen to me. There's some things that you ought to remember, and there's some things that you ought to forget. There's some people that you ought to fixate on and think about a lot. Listen to me. And there's some people that you ought to only think about when you're praying for them. And then you close the door. All right? Listen, this matter of having a spirit of thankfulness, it does not happen by accident. And when I talk about thankfulness and I see about 4 or 5% of my congregation, and as soon as I mention the subject, you get that look on your face because you are the church member who has nothing to be thankful for. If I only understood how rough and bad your life has been and all the terrible things you've got, God pity your wicked soul. Look right up here. God pity your wicked soul. That's an accusation you just leveled against the God of the universe who is a good God and has been good to you. Hey, are you in hell right now burning, begging for a drop of water? Then God's been very good to you. Okay? Did God send his only begotten son to die on the cross for you? Then God's been very good to you. Yeah, come on now. I'm tired of people turning the holidays into, you know, the poor me times of life. And I sure hope everybody understands how rough I've got it. And let me see if I can just show up to church and look as miserable as possible because, oh my goodness sake, God has been so unfair to you. Come on, I'm standing in defense of the Lord for a few minutes here. I'm going to stand in defense of the Lord and say that is not fair. That is not a fair and accurate telling of your life. Okay, you know what Paul said? He said, listen, you don't think Paul's life was full of a lot of potentially bad memories? Okay. He didn't think about the multitudes that rejected the gospel. He thought about the smaller group. It's a smaller group. Wide is the way to destruction. Narrow is the way to eternal life. I can promise you, more people that listened to Paul didn't get saved than got saved. Now, who are you going to think about? Come on, he could spend all Thanksgiving season just focused on Demas. Tell you what, Demas, I just wasted my life. Demas, he just forsook me. He betrayed me. I mean, Jesus had Judas Iscariot, and I got Demas. Come on. If you don't start smiling and nodding and acting like you're getting this is going to be a long sermon, all right? That right now is the time to get excited, okay? So you can get out of here to DC. Come on now. This is good for us. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're the only one that's ever been betrayed. No, Paul was too. And you know what he said? I thank God upon every remembrance of you. He didn't say, I thank God upon every remembrance of Demas. You know why? Why? Because there were some things he chose to remember and some things he chose to forget. Some people he chose to remember and some people he chose to forget except to pray for. But that wasn't going to be the focus of his life. Folks, listen to me. There's a lot of dark roads in everybody's mind. Look right up here. I'm going to help you with something. There's dark roads in everybody's mind. What are you talking about? I'm talking about mental roads, mental paths that if you allow your mind to go down at the end of that road, it just gets darker and darker and it's a dead end. And I've been down to the end of that road. And by the way, you've been down to the end of those roads in your mind too. And what is the benefit? Okay, you waste an entire day or 2 days fixated on something that happened that you'll never be able to change. And you walk all the way down and it gets darker and darker. And then you get in this dark hole and you sit there and it takes forever to get back out of it. Listen, the next time that you take one step down that road, stop and say, wait a minute, I have a choice right now. You know, God designed our minds in a miraculous way. designed our minds so that we can't think about more than one thing at a time. Now, I know that's true for men. I'm not so sure about women, but I've watched women multitask, and I think maybe they can. I don't know. But for the most part, the normal group of humans... Hey, you know what? We talk, some guy comes to me, somebody comes, oh, preacher, I get this bad song on my mind. I can't get this bad song off my mind. It's one I used to sing before I got saved. And how do I get it off my mind? Start singing Amazing Grace. You ever try to sing two songs at one time? I mean, I dare you. Get two song books, open up to two different pages, and then go for it. One's going to take over the other one. If that's true with a song, then that's true with a memory. All right, come on, I've been down that road. I know what's at the end of that road. I know what it's going to do for me for the next several days. Why would I walk it again? You know, folks, when I'm out on visitation, you know what? And I was just there Saturday, me and Brother Ron, and we came to a road and we looked at it, and I was thinking about going down it, and it said dead end. You know, in the county here, they have enough sense that if there's a dead-end road, someone just puts a sign to warn you that there's nothing at the end of this road. And if you go down there, you're going to have to come back anyway. So unless you need to be down there, why waste your time? You know what he said? I said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Listen, folks, at 59 years of age, I've did a lot of living, and I've met a lot of people, and I've had a lot of experiences. And I've had a lot of wonderful things happen, and I've had a lot of tragedies, and now it's up to Jerry Ross to decide what kind of person I'm going to be. And it's not any different for you. I don't care if you haven't reached 59. You're not going to get deep into this life where you're going to have to start making some choices. What am I going to remember, and what am I going to choose to? I just can't forget. Well, you won't ever. I said this one time, and I'm just terrible with my memory, so I think this might backfire on me again. But the first phone number that we ever had was in Brazil, Indiana. Okay? I cannot remember my first phone number of the house that we lived in when I grew up as a kid. Do you know, Bob? Would you have any memory of that? I'm trying to think the phone number we would have had as we lived at the Lifix. I always call our house when we lived at the Lifix, you know. So even though it belongs to you, it still kind of belongs to us. Remember that if you ever sell it, okay? We probably left you some memories there. But, you know, some of you are like, I remember. I mean, you're the numbers person, you know, like Travis. You're the numbers guy, man. He knows everybody's birthday in the whole church. I promise you, when he's 90, every phone number of everybody he's ever known, he'll know it, you know. It's not. And then I think about, you know, I don't remember this number. I can't remember this number. And then I got thinking, you know why I never, listen, you know why I can't remember those numbers? Because I don't dial them. Right. I don't dial those numbers. You know the numbers I remember? The numbers I dial. You know how many numbers I dial anymore? None. Honestly, there's men in this room. If your phone was taken away and your wife's phone number was not saved, you wouldn't even be able to get a hold of your wife. You just look up her name and push the button, you know. Come on, how many's with me there? All right, man, that's worse than I thought. You know, I mean, if it's like, you know your mom's number? Well, I have to look. Then they say, do you know your number? Well, just a minute, you know. And my defense is this. I don't know my number because I never dial my number. Oh, that's such an amazing truth. You know why you can't forget certain things? Because you keep dialing the number. Right. You know, every time you dial the number, it's going to ring. So stop dialing the number. What are you saying? I'm saying put the dead end sign on the road. You know, then put barricades. Put bridge out. Man, I'm telling you, folks, I've watched this go to the destruction of good Christians. Don't say to me, well, I just can't let it go. Well, I guess tear out Philippians 4:13. Because my Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Don't come to me with this I can't stuff. Okay, go lay on the couch, some humanistic, you know, psychiatrist, and sell that baloney to him. But it won't work in a Baptist preacher's office with an open King James Holy Bible. Yes, you can. You just choose not to. Stop dialing the number. Stop dialing the number. Stop dialing the number. Preacher, I know your life. It's not as good as your face advertises it to be. Yeah, I know. But there's parts of it that my face never remembers. I don't think of it. I'm not going down those roads. You know what? It's what it was. Going back and reliving it, it's not going to change it. It's not going to help me. And so you know what I do? I'm just going to dial up the right numbers. Oh, I hope that helps you today. Think about this. Thankfulness. His thankfulness was centered on people who had touched his life in a positive way. Now think, if there's those who have been a blessing that people remember, this is so good where I'm going, folks, this is it, don't miss it. You say, preacher, that's true. In my life, there are those who have been a blessing, those who have been a disappointment. And so I need to focus on the ones that have been a blessing and be thankful for them, not bitter towards the ones that have been a disappointment. But wait a minute, there's more to it than that. You see, if the spirit of thanksgiving is created by an act of remembrance, and we can affect ourselves by who we choose to remember, choose to be the type of person that brings good memories into people's lives, not bad memories into people's lives. I'd hate to think that there's a large number of people that have to say, well, I just need to forget Jerry Ross except to pray for him. I want memories of my interaction with people to be good and positive things that have helped them. Which list are you on? Think about it. Every one of us must decide how we will be remembered in the lives of those around us. Will we be a lifetime source of encouragement in the memory of those we've influenced? Or will we be a potential lifetime source of discouragement in the memory of those we've interacted with? I mean, I'd hate to be on the list of people that, well, it's just best I not think about them, just pray for them. I don't want to live that kind of a life. Paul took the time to express the thankfulness to those that I call the blessing crowd. You know what? He would go and he would remember them and think about the good things that they've done in their life, done for him in their life. And then you know what? He didn't just think about it. He took time to pick the pen up and he wrote about it. He expressed it to them. I want to give you this last thing. Listen to me. But if there's ever a week where we ought to take some time to say, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, it ought to be this week. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit work in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of the people that had the most positive impact on our lives, some of them we can't thank. They're in heaven. Those that are still on earth, maybe this would be the great week for them to get that text or that phone call. Watch this or hear that knock on the door. Think about it. Paul took the time to express the thankfulness to the blessing crowd. You know what? I went to third grade in Bee Ridge Elementary School in Brazil, or outside of Brazil, Indiana. I had a teacher by name Mrs. Henderson. And you know what? First grade teacher, second grade teacher, third grade teacher. Man, I love that woman. I love that woman. She was a Christian. She had a King James Holy Bible on her desk. She would come by and pray for each of us. Think about that. She cared about us. Oh, she was strict. I mean, you didn't want to cross Mrs. Henderson. But you walked in and you knew that she loved you. It was the first school teacher that I ever had. I'm not diminishing the first two, but I think they were just more into academics and just kind of doing their job, and she was into the young people and the kids and making an influence on their life. Okay? They closed down Bee Ridge Elementary School, and they consolidated, moved everybody to Forest Park Elementary School. So I walk in there in fourth grade. The people, some of the teachers that had a job at Bee Ridge, they moved over to Forest Park. I just finished third grade, Miss Henderson. I walk into my fourth grade class. Guess who the teacher is? Mrs. Henderson. I got her 2 years in a row. Man, it was amazing. It was amazing. Years later, I graduate from Bible college. I move back to Brazil, Indiana to start a church. I'm driving around. Memories are stirring. Come on. Good memories are stirring. Right kind of memories are stirring. I drive by the Forest Park Elementary School. I go out to see the Bee Ridge School, and it's been torn down. Then I go by the Forest Park Elementary School and I think to myself, man, Mrs. Henderson. And you know what I did? I'm going to help you. You know what I did? I was out visiting, out soul winning, and I said, you know what? I'm going to get my mask and put it on, and I'm going to stop here at this school. No, we didn't have masks in those days. Back in those days, if you wore a mask into a school, they called, no, they didn't call 911 either. Never mind. Didn't have that either. But and you know what I did? I went to the office. Come on. And I walked in, and I said, hey, my name's Jerry Ross. I went to school here about 100 years ago. And there wouldn't be a teacher by the name Mrs. Henderson. I don't even know her first name, Mrs. Henderson. Oh, yeah, she still teaches here. Well, I was in her grade in third grade at Bee Ridge and fourth grade here. And I just want to say thank you. And the lady behind the desk said, let me go get the principal. He came out and he said, can I help you? I don't know if they believe me, you know. He's come for revenge. I said, yeah, and my name is Jerry Ross. I just started a church here in town. Graduated from college and just moved back here, started church. And Mrs. Henderson, my third grade teacher, he's like, really? I said, yeah, I don't want to interrupt class. No, we need to interrupt your class. Principal walked me down, knocked on the door, opened the door. Mrs. Henderson, she'd been up there teaching. You know what? I thought she was old when I had her. Some of you young people don't think Pastor Jerry Ross was always old. No, I wasn't. I'm young. And she, can I help you? And I said, my name's Jerry Ross. And she smiled. And she said, you had to have me twice. You must have done something wrong. And I said, no, man. I was blessed. And I looked at the kids and I said, kids, this is the best teacher I ever had right here. You listen to her. She loves you. I look over, the woman's crying. I said, that's all I needed. She came over and gave me a hug. It's all right. She was old. And y'all know, and I talk about this, didn't for years, but I talk about it. Every April, I get in my car and I drive up to April, somewhere right in there, and I drive up to north of Brazil, Indiana, and visit the Rock Run Baptist Church where I got saved. I wish I could thank Pastor Evans. One of the things that just bothers me is he died before I ever said thank you to him. He's the one that led my mom and dad to the Lord. He's the one that preached, and all of us kids, most of us, I think all of us kids got saved under his ministry. Then he was bivocational and got into an accident, truck accident. And then that didn't kill him, but ended up with a blood clot that cut loose and took him unexpectedly. And it's bothered me. I thought, you know, I never went to him and said thank you. And so I made up for it, tried to make up for it by being doubly thankful to his wife. I tracked her down. She lived in Greencastle. While I was starting the church in Brazil, I ran a vending route over to Greencastle. And so I was over there 2 days a week. So once every week, I would take my lunch break and I'd stop. And I'd go to a nursing home where Mrs. Evans was. And I'd go to find her. And I'd wheel her out to the common area. And I'd sit and talk with her. And she'd tell me the same stories every week, the same stories over and over. All the memories she had of mom and dad, all the memories she had of us. And that time I misbehaved in her class. And she sent me out in the hallway. And I was going to have to stay out there the entire time. But I wailed and cried so hard. So she finally had mercy and went back and got me. And how I was the best boy in the class after that. Yeah, I was terrified, man. And she'd tell those stories, you know. And you know what I'd do? I'd always pray with her and I'd give her a hug. I'd say, thank you. You know, that costs so little. Kids, it costs so little for you to look at your mom and say thank you. And some of you haven't done it in years. It costs so little. Look at your daddy and say thank you. It costs so little to track down an old Sunday school teacher. Hey, who led you to the Lord? Who led you to the Lord? Are they still here? Don't be like Jerry Ross. Say, man, why didn't I just say thank you? You know what Paul said? He did this. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for all of your goodness to us. And thank you for sending people into our lives that have made a difference. Lord, help us to want to be those people. part of the blessing crowd. Help us realize that every single one of us can take that on as a personal ministry. To be the person of encouragement, to be the person of wonderful memories, sweet memories, good memories. Lord, I thank you for this time of year. Thank you that back in our nation's history, there came a time where people that were in places of power realized the importance of stopping everything and declaring a day where we stop and are thankful to God. Lord, I pray that you'd make this a sweet time, and Lord, a family time, a sweet time, a good time. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'll build upon and create memories that our children and our grandchildren can carry on far beyond our time here on earth. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your sweetness to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.